Here we go. Rolling sound. Quiet.
It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering and Stone Leaf Remodeling.
Good morning. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I'm channeling a little rasp.
You are? Why?
I don't know.
Have you been ill or is it allergies?
Really?
I don't know.
I did have a sore throat about a week ago, but like, is that?
It's probably lingering a little bit from the sore throat.
I kind of like it. Is that weird?
No.
That I'm kind of digging it?
I think you should.
I'm going to roll with it for as long as it lasts.
Yep, I would too. Like,
well, you know, my kids make fun of me because they say that I have phone voice and that I have dad voice, meaning I have a voice when I speak to them. And then I have a voice that when I grab on the phone, apparently I sound like, hello, Philip Sassano. Like they said, I think we all do. I mean, I think when you take on a professional phone call, right?
Well, you're
a little less shrill than you might be with your kids.
Your kids, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like, you don't answer the phone. Tell me what your mom. Go talk to your mom.
Right, but
hello?
This is making me. Yeah, exactly. You got to do a reset a little bit.
Absolutely.
You were just giving me static about that, so I'm just gonna rock this voice for a while.
I would.
How you been?
Good.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
Summer good.
Summer has been absolutely fun and fantastic.
Well, weather was beautiful this week.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It was nice again.
Absolutely.
Totally.
How's yours?
It was great. You know what? We had last weekend, we had the entire Swedish side of Julie's family in for a family reunion.
Oh.
And we were asked to host. And I, you know, when Julie first approached me about it, I was like, okay, you know, it's funny because I talk on the show all the time about how, you know, you shouldn't really use parties as a way to sort of push your design forward.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I kind of got caught in that. Because I was already redoing, you know, I've told you that I've been going through a couple transformations, you know, one at the shop in downtown Lake Geneva. Mm-hmm. To get ready for fall, you know, because I already think out months as to kind of where
you have to
kind of,
right?
Where I want to be. Yeah. And the things that I want to display. And one of the things that I had really been struggling with for a little bit is, you know, my own personal space at my home where, you know, I've always had a creative corner to sort of do my work at home so I could have a place to center and process. It's sort of like my creative corner in a way. Well, let's really be honest. It's much larger than a corner. I basically took, you know, one of our four-car garage, and I separated it in half in this two-car garage. I put double doors on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it my private studio with a lot of natural light.
Excellent.
I put heat in it. I air conditioned it. But I haven't really had the chance to use it. And so I had to delay my gratification last weekend because we had this big family reunion on Saturday and we were praying for no rain. And it turned out to be really hot last Saturday.
Yes, it was.
But it was really, it turned out to be kind of a nice day.
Yeah.
And we had water balloon fights. There was 50 to 60, you know, people of Swedish lineage running around my entire, you know, acreage throwing water balloons. And remember, I had just done that summer checklist.
Yep, you did.
Show
and
where
part
we talked
of that,
about the summer checklist.
Yeah, and part of that was water balloons.
Was water balloon fight.
Yeah.
And part of it was also fried chicken. So we got fried chicken from Crandall's and we really had a really wonderful summer kind of event. We erected a big tent on the driveway and then we used my studio because on one part of my studio, it used to be a double door garage. So if you can imagine this, it's got your standard sort of double door garage door. And on the backside, it had like an 8-foot garage door on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
For like driving your tractor out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had since put a patio on the back end and I didn't really need that garage door. So I thought it would be nice to put a set of sort of farmhouse French double doors on there so that I could walk from the home off the patio and then go into my art studio. And I put those on and Julie and I were really excited about, you know, just, it sort of felt like me. It sort of felt like home. And I had painted the floor and I had cleared it out. And the garage was about as clean as it's ever been, I think, since the house was built.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't build the house, but it was like immaculate. And then we opened it up and used it for the party. And then on Sunday, I got the chance to do some creative nesting. And that was really gratifying because I sort of needed, you know, when you have a big party, you sort of need that the day after. Not to just clean up, but to just mentally clean up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to sort of reset.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
After you have a big party.
Yep.
You know, you're like, oh, you know, hopefully the party that you threw was great. Ours was. you know, hopefully there wasn't too much cleanup. There was a lot, but we had lots of help and they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you know, we would host it again. It was such a great, it was just a great day with family. And this was a side of a family I didn't really know. You know, so sometimes, you know, the mindset going into these things is like, well, you know, you can lament the fact that you're hosting a party for about a bunch of people that you don't really necessarily see all the time. But
right.
What was great was to see and to be around them and to chat with them and learn about this entire side of your family that I didn't really
know about. Exactly, right.
But still had an unbelievable connection to. And they were so nice and they were just great people. And so that made the party even that much more fun. Mm-hmm. And the kids really enjoyed themselves.
Good.
It was just great to get
And cousins came. And
yeah, it was great to just get everybody under one tent.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I used my studio to do that. And I, you know, when I closed the garage door and I cleaned up after it, I started moving all of my supplies back in. I did my own purge.
Oh, great.
To my own private creative studio. And I've recently released some pictures of, you know, some sneak peeks sort of that studio, because I know that people are always curious about kind of where I do my work.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, what does that look like? Well, what does the design coach's house look like? Like, where does... what's the deal? And, I probably need to do some behind the scenes to let some people sort of into that universe to sort of see what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to start with my creative space, because it is really where I'm able to center. And whether when I was young, it was the corner of my room. Like, I just retreated to the corner of my four bedroom or my corner of one of the four corners. My brothers and I all shared a room. We each had a corner. I would retreat to there. You know, then after a while, I'd create a creative space or a studio in my parents' basement after a while, or whether it was an apartment that I rented. I've always had a place. And for the past 18 months, I've had a place, but it hasn't been where I felt really comfortable. And so creatively, you know, we talk about comfortability, you know, I don't even remember, but I remember back in the archives doing a show about, you know, when you feel confident and you feel comfortable, you can sort of just be honest and you can sort of be more creatively and artistically vulnerable, which is a lot of times the best way to access these awesome parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't feel great about your surroundings, especially being the guy who's coaching people to great surroundings, right, that can be frustrating. So I felt like, I got into it. I'm like, I put on the air conditioning. I got in there.
Nice.
And I was just kind of ready to create. So this was the first week I got to kind of drive my big shiny new toy.
Fun.
Into my new creative space.
Very cool.
So that's kind of what's happening on my end.
I'm curious on what color paint that you painted the floor.
I decided to do a couple things very differently. I decided to bring in and surround myself with a very neutral floor.
Uh-huh.
I used what's called a direct-to-metal paint, and it was recommended from Geneva Paint Company that I use this what's called a DTM paint. Direct to metal, but they say you can use it on concrete, and I did. It's an alkyd based, so it's an oil based paint that I used on the floor. Dried really fast, bit to the concrete. It's going to work out great. I mean, it's a painted floor, so it's not like an epoxy floor,
mm-hmm.
which I'm okay with. I didn't really want an epoxy floor. I didn't really want that look. I wasn't going to drive a car on this. I just wanted kind of a clean, neutral space that wasn't concrete. So I went with, you know, Edgecombe gray. Really pretty Benjamin Moore neutral light gray on the floor. And then I used Revere Pewter on the walls to just give it a contrast, a little darker gray. So I just really wanted kind of a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
I have an entire wall of white shiplap run horizontally on my main space. That's kind of where I tack up paintings on the shiplap, and I will sort of creatively hammer them out. I couldn't paint on drywall. I needed a harder surface, because sometimes I get very physical with the pieces of artwork. A lot of my artwork is actually done on wood versus canvas,
mm-hmm.
because I layer up these surfaces and I pound on them, I beat on them, and I grind them to get the right textural play between the color and the glazes that I like to use. I mean, sometimes my paintings will have 20 to 25 different glazes on them, and I just get really physical with them, so the wood-on-wood kind of concept really works. So I lined that with mm-hmm. shiplap, and it just is this great utilitarian space. But I started adding around me just sort of like things that I knew that I loved that I've been shopping for and antiquing. I mean, I found some great new places I'll probably share in the next couple segments of places that I think you have to go that are probably worth the trip. So some haunts that I didn't even know existed that, you know, I feel like creatively from a karma perspective, you know, the good Lord kind of gets me what I need and introduces me to people that maybe I wasn't really looking for.
Right.
But brings them into my creative universe for a reason and a purpose. And I'll share some of those, but that's kind of where my headspace is at. Is I'm really interested in sort of going through this transition from summer to fall, and you know how much I love fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sort of doing it in my new creative space. And then we'll have the revamp at the shop downtown, and we'll sort of see what the future holds there. But you know, I've got kitchens on my mind.
Kitchens, okay.
I have kitchens on my mind today. For a couple different reasons. I'm working on a couple of projects right now where kitchens are absolutely very top of mind. One is a remodel of a farmhouse, and one is a new build. And they both bring a little different sensibility to how you strategically approach the project. But at the same time, one of the things that they also do is that they're both blank canvases. You know, you're not left in both instances, you're left with kind of whatever you can dream up. And it was communicated to me, you know, as I see so many of these kitchen designs sort of pass my feeds, and as my clients tend to get inundated with all of these things that they see, you know, it seems to be that we're over a lot of the trendier styling that we've been seeing that's been very pervasive over the past few years, like just the white cabinets with the white subway tile with the rustic barnwood shelves, you know, like a lot right. of those really, you know, industrial, barny, farmhousey stuff, pretty appropriate, still very cool. But I think people to a certain extent, you know, I'm already getting the sense that that trend is kind of waning.
And that's what
people are going to be into. And it's funny because I'm going to reference this article from eldecor.com, which is 7 kitchen trends that are dominating 2018. And a few shows back, you know, you and I just did that style checkup.
Yes.
Right. From house.com.
Yeah.
So this is kind of an addition to that. But I want to talk about all things kitchen and these trends from eldecor.com that I found. I think they're really true. And I think I want to really blow open the conversation about, you know, what does a kitchen mean to us? And what are the ways we can kind of maybe take a different look than maybe some of the things we're currently seeing? And how do we think creatively? And how do we think differently? So stay with us. We're going to talk all things kitchen when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Stoneleaf Remodeling.
Hey, I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
I saw you with a lot of pictures at the Walworth County Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
So you and LaRosso have definitely been living there. Like
Because
I just have to ask you a question. Like,
yeah.
You know, for those of you who don't know, director, is that his title? Is he the
GM?
He's the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He's the general manager of the Walworth County Fairgrounds.
Yes.
And by the way, just another plug, he does such a fantastic job. First of all, the events there are always top of mind because their social media is always on point.
Yeah.
Which is nice because then there's always something that you can point to where you're like, oh, there's something going on there. And it's totally true.
Yes.
There's always something going on. But previous to his, whatever that is, his supervision,
mm-hmm.
I guess?
Yeah.
How long has he been in the role?
He's been here, this will be his fourth fair. Three and a half years.
But prior to that, like, you had to kind of search for it. I think, like, he's brought a level of consciousness to it, and which is interesting because he's not, like, a bombastic guy.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He goes about his business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ribfest is fantastic.
Anyway, so kudos to Larry.
Thank you. I'm sure he's listening this morning. So
I saw an inordinate amount of pictures of you. You were living there. My question to you is, was there a trailer? Were you like...
Yes, there is.
Were you living?
Did you sleep?
Have you slept overnight at the fairgrounds?
I have, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I knew that you had.
Yeah, when we first moved here, we lived in the infield.
Is that because you had to or because you wanted to?
It was a tough market in Wyoming when we moved here, and our house didn't sell for a very long time, and we were paying mortgage on that. And so, you know what? At that time, the board members said, if you need a place to crash
there
you go, you know.
Well,
and
was,
so
that's awesome.
We crashed in the green room, and I'm very forever thankful and very happy that they said to do that.
That was so nice.
And I was very happy to leave.
Yes. Yes. And to return as a guest.
Absolutely.
And not a resident.
It was very nice of the infield at the Walworth County Fairgrounds. So it was nice, but I didn't live there. He had long hours, but that's what he signed up for. It was great. It was wonderful.
A lot of great publicity on that.
A lot of great people.
You still have sauce in your hands.
I I don't. It was hard.
I cannot eat ribs like a normal, I cannot eat ribs like a normal human being.
Oh my gosh. There is a group of 13 people that came in. I don't know where they're from. I took their pictures, but they actually made their t-shirts on the way here to the event. They all had white t-shirts and had different color markers. They put their name on the front, and Ribfest 2018 was on the back, and they used those as like a secondary napkin.
That's awesome.
It was fantastic. That's great. I love those kind of people. You know, they're having fun.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know they're having fun.
You know what? And at those kinds of events, that's kind of what it's all about.
It is.
You know, it's like a completely and totally win in Rome mindset. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Just kind of get out.
It was fun. We had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Well, so as we progress through summer, you know, pretty soon here, we're going to talk about, you know, sort of turning our attention back towards the inside. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, is always top of mind with summer entertaining is, you know, at least it is for us, you know, one of the things that I was focused on with this summer party that we recently threw was making sure I kept people out of my kitchen. Because, you know, when you're having a group of 70 people and the gravitational pull is towards the kitchen, you want people to be outside.
Yeah.
You know, you set up this entire area outside for them. And I thought that we did a really good job doing that. The food was easily accessible. There were multiple places to get a drink. You know, you've heard me talk about the fact that it's really helpful to have two bar stations, you know, one alcoholic, one non-alcoholic. Don't try to crowd the food all in one area. Mm-hmm. Don't try to crowd the, you know, drink all in one area. If you can find a way to creatively spread it out, maybe even group it. Right. By either food or snack.
Right.
Or dessert. If you can, you know, segment it by adult bar, kid bar, and you can kind of spread it out a little bit. It does make things a little bit easier,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more palatable, also easier to restock. And it doesn't just become a trough in a way. But, you know, there was still a lot of in and out of traffic, right? Traffic in and out of the kitchen. And you know, so kitchens for me, not only from a project perspective, from a personal perspective, are really top of mind now because, you know, as we talk about ways to improve your home. We talk about ways to, you know, how do you love your home? And, you know, right now I'm working on a project that, well, I don't want to talk about it just yet, but I'm working on a project regarding these virtues and sins of design.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've got, this is kind of one of these projects I'm currently working on are, you know, what are these ultimate sins of interior design? And then what are these virtues that are out there that we try to practice at the Design Coach that will make you love your home?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll tip my hand a little bit. You know, one of them is actually having a little bit of faith and sort of seeing the possibilities. And I always feel like kitchens are one of those areas where, you know, when we try to reverse engineer our design with a client or even for myself, you know, I always try to take the position of, you know, what are the memories and the moments you want to have in this kitchen? You know, not just what do you want to do, you know, but how do you want to feel and how do you want to act and how do you want to be and how do you want to live? So it doesn't just become about, you know, kitchens oftentimes can become so task heavy mm-hmm. in the conversation. And those things are important. But, you know, not only in my own design mind, but in the design mind of a couple of my clients, increasingly the conversation has been, I want a unique kitchen. I don't just want a kitchen that looks great, that looks like everyone else's kitchen.
Right.
And this is the trap and the danger in the digital design dilemma, right? The fact that you see a lot of cool things and then you instantly, rather than come up with your own signature, you copy. And that's what we try at the Design Coach to try really hard not to do because our clients don't hire us to copy another design.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can get frustrating when you have, you know, partners that you're currently working with that aren't giving sometimes the most creative options. And so, you know, as we try to make sure that we're tip of the spear, right, that we're sort of pushing the envelope with our mm-hmm. clients and customers, the conversation that it has to always come back to is it's not just about how it should function because it should absolutely function for you. But when you talk about how does it feel, how do you want to live, it's almost like we're crafting a stage. It's almost like we're crafting a backdrop to a performance of how do you want this, you know, what do you want this kitchen to say about you, about this home, about what you value? And, you know, oftentimes when I talk about design and decoration, it can become such a discretionary conversation where people just sort of, you know, it's just something you sort of do, you know, in your downtime, or they don't think it's a serious craft, or sometimes even to the point where you don't know if it's a serious profession, but you know, as it relates to the interior, this is the stage on which we live our lives. So when you talk about your kitchen and kind of what your home says about you, because the dirty secret is, it says a lot. You know, it says a lot about what you value. And you might not know it and you might not sense it, but, you know, and it's not that people are evaluating you or judging you. It's just that let's turn the conversation not about other people and what other people see, but what do you see? How do you feel when you're in this space? And because kitchens are such a huge part of kind of who we are, you know, you have to sort of come up with this at least the strategy for attacking them that I don't think starts with the cosmetic. I also don't necessarily know if it always starts with task. I think that those things are, you'll get to that. And eventually, if you don't have service area, you don't have enough room to do what you need, you'll address that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking big picture and you're going, you know, you're going macro to micro, which is kind of what I encourage people to do when they're thinking about kitchens. Think about this big picture. Think about, you know, do you want to be able to accommodate more family members in the kitchen? Is that something you value? Or do you value more professional cooking space independently with maybe one or two other people? You know, what do you want the experience to be while you're in there cooking? Do you want to have that extra seat for someone just to kind of be with you? You know, are you, think about your mornings. Think about, like, in the morning while you're doing whatever rituals and your timing mechanisms that get you ready for your day, how do you want to either share that or in some instances maybe not share that with others, right? Like, and how are you with clutter? You know, how are you with wanting things to visually, how do you want that to feel? What do you want that to say? How do you accommodate for the quick pickup? You know, in the kitchens, that's a big one.
It is.
Is, you know, do you have enough area for quick pickup, or is so much of your kitchen staged that you don't really have that opportunity? You know, like my kids eat an inordinate amount of bread and fruit. Like it's always piling up mm-hmm. on us. And so as I think about the design or the redesign of my kitchen, I'm thinking about the fact that I'm not going to hide the fruit and put it away. I want it accessible, but I still want to solve the design problem to make it neat,
mm-hmm.
make it tidy, make it organized, you know?
Right.
I kind of have been working with Julie to try to get over the hump on open shelving, because one of the clients I'm working with is going to be designing with me a kitchen I'm going to love and covet. I'll be honest with you.
So open, oh, as far as...
Well, it's funny because when you say open shelving, people think wall shelving. This is what they think. You know, when I say, if I were to say to you open shelving, you would think shelves on a wall. Where your plates might be open, your cups might be open, your coffee mugs might be open.
Like a glass front, is that what?
No, not even a glass front, completely open. Grab your dishes on a moment's notice and not have to put stuff away all the time.
Okay.
And that's very popular to be able to sort of have this utilitarian, almost like a commercial kitchen kind of concept.
Right.
Whether it's steel shelves or barnwood shelves or whatever kind of shelves, the open shelf concept is a big one, but... In this instance, with this particular client, we're sort of changing the definition and saying, well, I don't really need a closed island with a lot of cabinetry. I don't need them. Like, how much cabinetry do you really need to the point where if you have too much, do things just hide on you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do things just get lost? How many pots and pans do you never pull out because they're in a drawer or they're in a shelf behind a door you don't even see? And then are you really using those things? Like, I think this is kind of where the concept keeps coming back mm-hmm. up is, you know, what is the right amount of storage versus the right amount of display? And so we've decided to take this concept of the island and completely reinvent it to the point where it's going to look like this sort of French baker's table.
Oh, I love it.
And it's going to be mostly open.
Nice.
So that if you want to just set the table with 12, you can grab the plates very easily, you know? And... what's nice about that, too, is it also keeps you from having a ton of mismatched stuff, right?
Right.
So it helps you purge.
Yeah.
Especially one of the things sure. that I cannot stand in a kitchen, and that's plastic. Like, plastic dishes, plastic, you know, plastic tumblers. They're a necessary evil to a certain extent, but I have become a fan of ceramic and porcelain and glass, and I'm becoming more of a purist to be able to introduce those materials. They last a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, they last a lot longer, right? And they're probably, from a health perspective, better for you, right? So listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to finally dig into the last two segments with Elle Decor by our side, the seven kitchen trends that they believe are dominating 2018. So we're going to talk all things kitchen when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering, tile, stone, laminate, vinyl, and more.
All I felt like I was all over the map there. Please tell me that I made some semblance of
you
sense.
Did. You made
No, you sense. Weren't very confident. That's not very confident.
No, you did. You did.
You agree with me, though. You totally agree with me.
I was following you.
Listen, folks, I cannot tell you that this show is always going to be linear. Okay? As evidenced by your host, it is organic. And it is basically a conversational and a cerebral amoeba that is getting pushed and pulled in a million different directions. So please, please just know that I'm trying to entertain. At the same time, have your mind be as elastic as it possibly can as you follow our train on these kitchen trends and my mindsets and philosophies on kitchens, because man, I got a lot of them. But I'm excited about where I think this is going. I think this conversation with kitchens is going to go a little less towards this traditional triangle of workspace kind of conversation. I think it's going to go more towards the personalization of these spaces to make them more theme rooms. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to make special kitchens versus cookie cutter kitchens. Mm-hmm. That I just believe are so beautifully done and appointed that they almost sort of miss the mark because they're over-stylized. You know, it's just my personal opinion as a designer that some of these kitchens, they're meant to take abuse. And if your kitchen cannot take abuse, meaning you're meant to work in it, you're meant to create in it, you're meant to build things in it, if it cannot take abuse, then, well, I don't know, then you're not really utilizing your kitchen. And so therefore, if your mindset is, I want to build a showplace kitchen for someone else to use,
mm-hmm.
great. But to me, I feel like you're missing on a huge opportunity, you know, to build what I believe is the original craft room. You know, let's just break it down even further. The original craft room was the kitchen. You know, we didn't have separate rooms for crafts. You know, what you did in the kitchen. When you created and you made and you bonded in the kitchen. And a lot of us still do. But there are things now within our universe, and you know, some of it's technological and some of it's just advances in finishing. And a lot of it's the fact that now we're able to see more things where you can be inspired to try to find your visual voice on your kitchen. And that's really what I want to explore over the next couple segments here. Using this eldecor.com sort of article, these sort of seven kitchen trends that are dominating 2018 from their perspective. I think it was interesting because I'm seeing a lot of great stuff that I think people, they need to pay attention to the opportunities that exist, because a lot of times what people miss on creatively is the fact that they're just not aware of the choice. You know, I hear this a lot. I hear, you know, I wish I was aware of that at the time I did my remodel. Or I wish someone would have recommended that, right? I wish somebody would have recommended that to me, right? At that
exactly.
Time. And so what you want to try to do is do enough advanced homework, right? Where you can absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, explore as many different opportunities as it relates to the canvases that make up a great kitchen, okay? I'm going to talk about two specifically just to kick us off here. One is, you want to make sure that one of the canvases you're exploiting, because it's everything's built on this, is the floor. You know, paying attention to your kitchen floor is really important, whether it's wood or tile, whatever the surface might be, whether it's natural stone. You've got to make sure that floor sort of, because it really does sort of set the stage, for lack of a, you know.
It does, I agree.
Pun, but it does set the stage here. The floor matters. And in one of the projects that we're currently designing, we're working with reclaimed sort of old chestnut.
Oh.
Which is now kind of an extinct wood.
Yes. Like
they don't really harvest chestnut
right,
anymore.
Exactly.
So we're working with Carlisle Wide Plank Floors to bring in this chestnut floor that has all the old wormholes in it. It has a look of pine, but it's a little richer mm-hmm. than pine. It's not quite as yellow. And in these different random widths of both everything from 10 inches down to 4 inches, what the client's going to be getting is this really wonderful sort of archival historic floor on which to do a kitchen that maybe looks like it's been there for a while.
And that sounds gorgeous.
And that's exciting, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a kitchen or develop a kitchen or design a kitchen and develop a concept that has all of the bells and whistles of a newer kitchen mm-hmm. from an appliance perspective, but has a lot of that old feel that makes it feel like it's been there. See, one of the issues that I have with current kitchen design is it just looks too new.
I tend to agree with that, right?
It just doesn't look old, and so therefore it although it might have grandeur and it might have excitement, it lacks charm. And to me, charm is one of those essential elements in a kitchen that I just think make you feel at home, make you feel welcome, and you want to feel welcome in your own kitchen. So it has to take abuse. You got to make sure you're paying attention to the floor. The floor has to be something that's usable. But remember, when we're talking about wood floors, we're also talking about what kind of finishes we put on them. So one of the things that you have to watch for is you have to watch this infusion of wood on wood. And this is, you know, wood finishes are one of the things that they're saying is making kind of a comeback. But when you get into this wood on wood, meaning that there's wood cabinetry on a wood floor, what you end up with is you end up with a very dark looking kitchen that does not give you the element of contrast, which makes the planes play off of one another. So one of the things in number one on this list from eldecor.com was mix and match the finishes. And here's what it goes on to say. The days of monochromatic kitchens are far behind us. And this is according to Sue Walden, the director of marketing at Sherwin-Williams. She explains that this year, it's all about mixing and matching color. No need to keep it all the same. And in the image that they show, which is very interesting, they do a sort of a gray soft island with white perimeter cabinets. Now, although I think this concept is a really good one, I do agree with Sue Walden from Sherwin-Williams, although I agree with the concept. In this particular picture, here's a couple of misses. Here's a couple of ways that I think you could even take it to the next level. And what we're talking about, especially on the show and with our company, is, you know, we're next level design. If you want safe, you don't hire me. You know, if you want alternative thought, you come to me. You know, if you want different kinds of ideas and you want lots of them, that's why you come to me. You don't come to me to copy your house account. You just don't. I mean, I want to see it and I want to know the things that you like, but I'm trying to develop and help you develop an original visual signature for your home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want that, then you don't really want to work with me, or you probably don't even want to listen to the show. But when I look at this picture, I see a miss. I see a miss in the fact that when you mix and match, just don't think about changing the color of the island and leaving the perimeter cabinets white. Think about changing the planes and the countertops on those surfaces. In the photo, it looks to be like a nice Carrera is on top of the white kitchen cabinets. Well, if that was a cement gray that had a little bit more of a link to the island, then you're getting a really good what I call color cross-pollination. You know, you hear me talk a lot about color makes sense when it's justified.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if you're going to introduce gray, where else are you going to introduce gray that makes that make sense? How are you going to coordinate that? And so I would have liked to have seen them use that. Also, the color of the wood floor in this particular photo from eldecor.com has a nice medium tone sort of honey floor, a little bit of a, you know, like a warm amber.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to possibly think about putting an amber chop block on top of this island.
To bring those two together, then.
Right now what I see is I see they just sort of bailed with the stone. And Listen, that's probably what the client wanted. I think that's fine. It's great. It's pretty. It's a little bit of a yawner because they didn't fully take advantage of the planes and the surfaces that I think that they could have to make it warm and welcoming. The light fixture over it, you know, it's a very big island that they purchased or that they show that they purchased for this particular kitchen. I would have done a couple double fixtures. I would have done maybe two versus one. And then obviously, you know how I feel about ceilings. The ceiling is white. One of the simple things that they could have done to take this kitchen to the next level was take the gray that's in the island and just paint the ceiling
gray. Pop it up there, right.
And then all of those white cabinets, as they do in this photo, all the white cabinets are lost into the white crown and then lost into the white ceiling, and you don't even notice the crispness, which is why they probably purchased the cabinets to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably why they wanted white, because they wanted it open and clean. And so where you choose to detail the canvas and how you choose to detail the canvas. And that's why I started the conversation saying, look at the floor, look at the ceiling, and figure out a way to make this space feel interesting. You know, if it were me, I would wallpaper that ceiling. Would make it, because it's a wow, it's like a tray. It looks like a barreled ceiling. It's curved.
Nice.
But it's curved drywall. Meh. Sorry.
Exactly.
That's my wah button.
Yeah.
Like kind of missed a shot there.
Absolutely.
To do something completely different. So listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to dig into these other, what they think are the seven trends that are dominating kitchen design in 2018 from eldecor.com. Talking all things kitchen this morning on The Design Coach. Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I wish people could hear the things we talk about off the air.
Yes.
I was mentioning to Mel that I have this transmission, okay, that runs like, you know, the entire spectrum of emotion. It's part of the way that I have used my emotional and professional transmission to sort of understand people and my surroundings and be creatively and artistically receptive, but it goes from the darkest side of me to the brightest side of me.
Welcome to creativity.
That's just how it is, you know. I run hot and cold, and that's, you know, I've learned over the years to regulate that.
That's
and
good.
To apply that to the right. Look at you. You're like that's good.
It's good.
I couldn't professionally survive unless I did.
That's sad.
But I think a lot of creatives struggle with that you want to be emotional and passionate. You know, but you also then want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, the emotional part of you, you're just being emphatic.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually getting upset. You're just trying to make your point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you couple that with my Paisan gene that I got that's latent in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It like pops up every now and again.
It sure does.
So anyway, we're on to kitchen topics. Shocking. The conversation rolled right around to me again. we're going to have to go off mic. Sometimes we're just going to have to let them hear our banter.
We'll have to do that.
Maybe.
It's
a whole show off topic.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, welcome back.
I think
back.
We'd have to do that in different programming, though.
I know.
You can't really air that.
You're listening to The Design Coach. For those of you who don't know where or what you're listening to, right here on Lake 96.1. And on this Sunday morning, we're talking all things kitchen. And I've been referring to this article from eldecor.com that is 7 kitchen trends that are dominating 2018. And I talked in the last segment about making sure that you're paying attention to the canvases, people. Make sure you're not ignoring the ceiling and make sure that you're paying attention to what you're putting on that floor. Because between the ceiling and the floor, you know, the walls are going to be covered. They're going to have cabinetry. Not a shock. Okay? Pretty much spoken for. But those walls and those ceilings are going to be able to, they're going to dominate visually the conversation. And you're either going to really nail them and you're going to do a great job picking the right surface for those, or you're going to miss. And you're going to have missed a huge opportunity and a huge canvas in a room that could take your kitchen from great to amazing. Right?
That's where we want it to be
amazing.
And
that's where we want it to be. We want it to be amazing.
Yes.
And listen, if you decide that you're going to pump the brakes and you want to be boring, well, then that's on you.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be because the design coach didn't try to help you out. It's not because I didn't try.
Right.
It's going to be because you got chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Speaking of not being chicken, here's number 2 on the list from eldecor.com's. Oh, man. 7 kitchen trends that are dominating 2018. I didn't even know where to go with this.
What?
Okay. So I'm going to show you the picture. I'm going to spin it around. So for those of you who want to follow along on your iPad or your Surface Pro or your phone or wherever the heck you are. Okay? Number 2, all things violet. Everything violet. Now, I will let you know that you know my feeling about purple.
Correct. That's the first thing I thought
purple
of.
Purple is, I don't care if you call it violet, it's still purple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do the name game on, you know what I mean? When I want someone to think differently about a color, I will name it a slightly more romantic color. Okay. When it's really red. Okay, this is what you do as an artist, right? You're like, oh, that's not red, it's crimson. You're like, okay.
I guess I really do like it then.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, oh, that's not yellow gold, that's maize. No. Still pretty much a yellow or a derivative of. So this is still purple. But they're saying purple everything. Pantone announced ultraviolet as the color of the year.
Yeah.
And it's already shaping up to be a major trend. In every aspect of home design, here's my whole thing. Purple in percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know where a great application for purple is? Can I just clue people in that I think?
Yes,
and this is just my opinion, but well, it's my show, so I'm just going to give you my opinion. Powder rooms. I think a purple powder room, if you just went crazy with a great paper and you pair purple with great metallics. Here's what purple goes great with. There's a little bit of a royal feel. It has, you know, purple has a royal heritage.
Mm-hmm.
It just does.
Yeah.
In the where it was used and the way it was used. So oftentimes you'll see it, and classically used, you can use purple with metallics, silvers, brasses, even golds, bronzes, right? Copper. if you want to go into a bathroom, and remember we talked about when you want to really want to trick up your bathroom, but you don't want to put wallpaper everywhere?
Right.
If you found a great violet purple metallic wallpaper on your ceiling, and then you wanted to create sort of a purple cave in your powder room, that's a great, to me, that's a great place to do it because it'll shock the system. It's a confined space. You're trying to intentionally make it special. Remember, I always think go big in small spaces. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's my concept is go big in these tiny areas because you can afford to do something kind of dramatic and different. You're not seeing it all the time. To me, purple, if you want to do this concept where you want violet everywhere and all the time, and you want it to look like a Veruca Salt who turned into a blueberry, basically exploded in your room, that's exactly what this looks like. Sorry. That was just the analogy.
I like it.
I don't even know where to go. Purple everything?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a lot of that color.
Can I be honest, Eldecor? You probably had 6, not 7. You had 6. Here's number 3. High contrast marble. It says, step aside, Carrera, says interior designer Donna Mondi. She explains that the newest it look for kitchens is dramatic marble that makes a statement. Listen, I totally agree. I worked on a cottage in Geneva National that I hope to photograph soon for all of you. For those of you who don't know the cottages in Geneva National, they're smaller in size. I think they're maybe, I want to say they're under 1,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Kitchen island is red. The island top is this multi-stone quartzite that is active and beautiful and looks like sliced boulders kind of put it together. It's really gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And so remember again, I just said small spaces go big in a small space. Try something dramatic. Mm-hmm. But then we found a way to really tie the rest of the cottage together but make the kitchen something special. I'm going to have to photograph this kitchen.
Yes, you do.
But between the lighting and the rest of the way we pulled the space together, the one thing we did do is really look for high contrast stone countertops mm-hmm. that really would give us a special look that was one of a kind. And so that's why I think in that the first picture, I was a little like, oh, they missed an opportunity to use a great stone
right.
to tie it all together. And oftentimes what you'll find is in these beautiful stones that if you end up going to, whether it's T&M in Skokie in Illinois or Crafted Countertops right over here in Genoa City,
uh-huh.
you know, if you go to any of these places where you want to look at stones, you know, oftentimes you can use the stones as a way to pull out a color scheme. So I think people oftentimes fear active countertops, but if you're going to go with simple cabinetry and you're going to go with white or you're going to go with wood or you're going to go with something that has a relatively monotone feel, well, then you have to make sure the stone is somewhat active. So I really agree with them here that finding a way to bring in an interesting stone, whether it's in the island or the perimeter cabinets, is absolutely an important way to go. And oftentimes now what they're doing is rather than doing a backsplash in tile, they're actually just bringing the countertop up as the backsplash.
Okay.
And it looks clean and simple. And I think it's important. I think it's important for people to think about the countertops the same way that they're thinking about the floors and the ceiling. It's another canvas. It's another element beyond the detail of the cabinetry and getting yourself lost in the appliance search, which everyone just seems to get derailed on. You know?
The appliance search?
Totally.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, which, listen, it's easy to do. There's lots of bells and whistles, and I think that those things are important. But they're not more important than some of these larger canvases that visually make up, you know, the wow kitchen that I think everybody wants.
Well, and that will probably be there a lot longer than some of your appliances you know,
totally
that
true.
Will be there.
Number 4 on the list is wood cabinets. I think that this is interesting that they call it wood cabinets, but they show a painted one. So wood cabinets are another popular trend this year. Add warmth to a kitchen with wood cabinets. Says C.C. Barfield, wood creates old world charm and a less utilitarian aesthetic. Well, in the picture that they show, that's actually not that's not what's attracting me. It's the color of the cabinets. It's the color of the wood cabinets that makes them special. They're like a really soft, interesting slate blue.
Ooh.
Which is super pretty. However,
oh, super, yeah.
What did they do in this one photo that makes my jaw drop and makes me love this kitchen more than anything? Yes, it's the blue cabinets. I think that that's great. But they did two things and they nailed it. This is the best kitchen of this grouping. They did the blue cabinets, which means they weren't afraid to do a color,
mm-hmm.
right? To give it personality and definition. They did, it looks like a wood countertop. See that? It's either a wood countertop or it's a rust-colored
right.
countertop
yeah.
where the sink is. Look
yeah.
at how pretty that contrasts with the beautiful slate blue mm-hmm. color of the cabinetry. And then look at that floor.
I knew it. I know.
They did a geometric, classic looking,
yeah.
almost like some of those kitchens you'd see in Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? where you would just, it's almost like this really utilitarian kind of beautiful aesthetic kitchen where the graphic and the floor actually makes it seem like it's out of some sort of bakery off a piazza somewhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does,
yes. It has that coffee house in Soho or even in Europe kind of feel. So they did the canvas of the floor correctly, and they didn't care that it was a little louder. They took a risk, and it totally paid off. 5, 6, and 7 get into, you know, everything from, mixing styles, rustic and modern, and blue-green cabinetry. You can read through that. And if you're interested, just go to eldecor.com, and you're going to see the 7 kitchen design trends that are dominating 2018.
I have one quick question, as long as we're talking about this. I didn't hear, and maybe that it gets into this, but the sink. Yep. Is the farmhouse sink, is that a trendy item yet, or
I don't know. I mean, I think farmhouse sinks have been around forever.
Yeah.
I think the question is how do you use it? The one thing I like about the farmhouse sink is it's one big trough. That if I want to, we talked about the quick pickup, that if you want to do that, farmhouse sink is great. You can put everything in there.
Right.
The divided sink gets a little hard. You know, divided sinks were one of those things where when you washed the dishes by hand and then you put them in the drain board to dry. I don't know if some people love a double sink. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't know that I like the one that we have. I'm going to switch to a farm sink. But to answer your question, I think they're always going to be classic.
All right.
And I think they're always going to be in style. What I like is that the farm sinks now are being introduced in other materials. Stainless steels, right? Being introduced in something other than white.
White. Okay.
So again, it's a way to twist. It's a way to twist the genre. It's a way to sort of look at it a little bit differently. And that's what I hope this show, and that's what I hope our designs are all about. And that's what we push for here at The Design Coach. So listen, thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day. You've been coached.